I'm Emma Louise Webb, and you're listening to Behind the Screams podcast.
Hello and welcome to Behind the Screams. As always, my name is Ian, and in today's show, we are once again joined by the rest of the Cackle crew. First up, it's Lindsay.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm all right. It's Saturday afternoon. I'm just not used to us recording on a Saturday afternoon. So
I know, it's a bit weird.
It's daytime. I'm just not used to recording in the daytime, you know. We're also joined by Lucy. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, no puns again. Of course, this is a bonus episode. You don't do puns for the bonus
main
episode.
Main show only, babes.
we won't be alone in this episode. We will be shortly joined by Emma Louise Webb, who you will know from previous episodes. She was one of the main stars of Host. We will shortly be chatting to her as part of our celebration of Women in Horror Month. We're celebrating International Women's Day, which is on the 8th of March, and we're obviously doing a month-long celebration. So already you'll have heard our episodes on Ginger Snaps and Carrie. We've also already done a top 5 horror movies directed by women, but we've got a lot more coming as well, including Gemma Hurley, who's the co-writer of Host, as well as other movies like Teeth, like Eden Lake, like The Perfection and The Invitation. So we've got a lot more coming this month as well. So it should hopefully be, it's going to be a good month. We're going to be a good celebration. Hello to Blossom, who's making another appearance on the podcast. we're not going to sort of hang about. We're going to be joined, like I say, by Emma very shortly. So we'll get our plugs and things in. So, Lindsay, where can people find you on the podcast? On the podcast? On the socials.
I'm on the podcast every Wednesday, but I'm on social media at @HiIt'sLindsay_.
Awesome. Lucy?
And you can find me on Twitter and Twitch, and it's Lulu_Pew.
Awesome. You can find me on Twitter. Well, you find me. You can find the podcast on Twitter at Screams Behind. Facebook and Instagram, just search for Behind the Screams Podcast. Go to twitch.tv/Behind the Screams Podcast, where we stream every Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday, a whole variety of horror video games. Tonight, as in the day of recording, Dave is going to be doing our Spooky Saturday. He's playing Made of Scare. I'm going to be playing Man of Maiden tomorrow, but we also do things like Dead by Daylight. I've been doing The Walking Dead, which I finished season one on Monday, and a whole host of other things as well. So please go to their twitch.tv/Behind the Screams Podcast and hang out with us as we play some horror video games. And then finally, if you like what we do on the podcast, you'd like to listen to more, you'd like to get some extra bonus exclusive content, or you just want to support us in a slightly more sort of physical way, you can subscribe to us on Patreon. That's patreon.com/Behind the Screams. We have 2 tiers, a £1 tier and a £5 tier. At the £1 tier, you get early access to all of our main shows. You can get access to our subscriber on the Discord. You get 2 bonus episodes a month. And then if you subscribe at the £5 tier, you get all of that. Plus, you get video access to all of our main shows, as well as the early access audio. You also get an exclusive mini print after a couple of months of subscribe. I think it's after 3 months, you get an exclusive mini print, which is getting sent out. The first batch of them should be getting sent out in the next couple of weeks. So if you have been subscribed to us at that tier for a couple of months, keep an eye on your mailbox, and please, please do send us some photos of them when they arrive, because they should be arriving in the next couple of weeks. And there's some other perks in there as well. So that's patreon.com/Behind the Screams. And we thank everyone who has already subscribed to us. We really, really appreciate it. One last thing that I want to plug, because as of yesterday, we released some new merchandise. We had some new designs made for us by friend of the show, Graham, who hates getting shouted out, because I shouted him out across the socials last time. I full-named him, and he hated it. I got abuse from him, so I just single-named him this time. But Graham did 2 really, really good new designs for us as well. Some really, really cool-looking things. So they've been uploaded to our TeePublic site. So you can get things like t-shirts, pins, stickers, patches, you can get mugs, you can get face masks, you can get pillows, You can get pillows. I'm just going to start uploading ones of my own face.
I was just going to say.
I just want people to sit on my face. Okay. but yeah, you can do that. The link to that's going to be in the description to this show. It's been plastered across our social medias for the past few days. So yeah, if you've got, you know, a few extra quid, the pins are coming in at like, the stickers are like $2. The pins are like $2. So we're not looking at like huge sums of money. Obviously, you've got postage and packing to add on top of that. But yeah, go to the link that's in this description. Go to the link that's across our social medias. It's on our website as well. And please, yeah, do that. Order yourself some cool merch. Lindsay, you've bought some of the merch, right?
Yeah, I did. I've got a t-shirt and I've got a mask.
How are they? Are they good?
They are good. I do a mask every day when I go out. And yeah, I wear the t-shirt fairly regularly as well. It's really comfy.
Cool, see? Like, but of course, Lindsay would say that. I have a tote bag. and you know, as well, and I know we've had a few people out there who've already bought some merchandise, so thank you to those people as well. But we're not going to hang about for too much longer here, because we're going to introduce our special guest for this episode. Like I say, you know her from Host. She played Emma in Host. She's been on the podcast previously, and we're going to be talking to Emma Louise Webb. So I'm delighted to say that we are joined once again on the podcast. She is back. You'll have heard her in a previous episode. Big hello to Emma Louise Webb. Emma, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm so good. Thank you. Thank you for having me back. This is so fun.
It's our pleasure to have you back. When we were setting this series of episodes that we're doing up, yours was one of the first names that I wanted to get back on the show, because, you know, I think you can offer quite a good perspective on what we're doing and things like that. So for everyone at home, obviously, the 8th of March is International Women's Day, and so we are doing a month-long celebration of women in horror. So if you've checked out our previous episodes, we've already done an episode on Ginger Snaps, we've done an episode on Carrie, and we've done an episode of our top 5 horror movies directed by a woman. And then later in the month, we've got episodes on The Invitation, we've got episodes on Eden Lake and The Perfection, we've also got an episode on Teeth, which will be fun, and then we've got someone who Emma knows very, very well. We've got Gemma Hurley coming onto the podcast later in the month, I'm very, very excited for that. But before we get into our discussion, because this obviously is the first time you've been back on, and since you were on last time, you won an award on this podcast. So this is sort of like an official, I have nothing to give you other than my words, but this is sort of the official congratulations for winning our 2019-2020 Best Supporting Actor Award.
Thank you so much. Do you know what? I sat there in bed and I was listening to that podcast and it made me so happy. I was so thrilled. Honestly, it made my day. I'm honestly, it was brilliant. So well, I think I'm just going to have to keep coming back on, you know, when I get my Oscars and...
Absolutely, absolutely. Hey, no complaints here. we'll have you back on when you win the award in 2021 and in 2022 and in 2023 as well. We had, like, when we were talking about it on the show, obviously all the final sort of nominees for the various sort of categories that we're doing, they were all chosen by the listeners. So we didn't have any input on what the sort of final four nominees were. And then, you know, we sort of picked our favourite, and it was we were very, very pleased to pick you. So
very well deserved.
Absolutely well deserved. So big congratulations for that. Obviously, Host picked up another couple of awards at our award show as well, but I'll save those for Gemma, so I have something to give Gemma later in the month.
But you know what, Gemma's a massive geek as well. She loves all of this stuff. She loves it. She's always the one sending stuff in the group chats, and I love
that's actually one of the questions that I wanted to ask you. I was sort of talking to the girls just before we came on with you, and that, you know, you often see people doing various interviews, podcasts doing interviews with people who have been in horror movies or have been in various movies. And I don't think I actually asked you this when I spoke to you the last time, and sometimes you sort of forget, like, so just how big a horror fan are you? Are you like a horror fan at all, or are you not really?
Oh no, I am. I'm definitely a horror fan. Especially when I was like a teenager, I was big. You know, like, I don't know if it was actually the time that there were more horror films coming out. I think maybe that's wrong, but when I was a teenager, it just seemed like horror was just all everywhere. So it was always like an event. We'd go to the cinema with my friends and it would just be a fun thing. And I don't know. I think as I got a little bit older, I think I stopped watching it as much. I think I was getting stressed out being an adult and I was like, I don't want to do this. But yeah, like Insidious, The Strangers, Paranormal Activity, like all those movies that I just went to the cinema watching growing up. So it was like, loved it. I love horror.
The Strangers still stresses me out to this day. I hate home invasion style stuff anyway. It's one of the few things that still gives me like the heebie-jeebies. So
it's terrifying. It's kind of realistic. I didn't know it was based on a true story.
It is, yes.
It's really worse.
Well, it's funny because when I was doing an episode on Wolf Creek the other day, and everyone was like, oh, this was based on a true story, that's so real, and like it could just happen. That's always the worst ones for me anyway. But yeah, I just wanted to ask that because, like I say, sometimes you get these people who are coming onto podcasts and thinking, you actually think, actually, I don't know if they're actually a fan of horror. You always hear stories as well of certain actors and actresses who don't watch horror movies or don't watch the movies that they're in because they're too frightened to. So how many times have you seen Host now?
This is so embarrassing. I think I'm the only actor in the whole world. I've watched it maybe 100 times. I watched it last night. I'm such a loser. I'm a full loser. I was so excited by it all. I love it. And the first time I watched it, I was actually pooing my pants because I think I told you before, I can't remember, we didn't know how it would end. We didn't know anything that we weren't in. So when I first watched it, it was like watching a film that I didn't know what was happening, except for my bits, obviously. But it was like, yeah, I love it. And I've seen it a lot. And I think that's really embarrassing, but I don't care. I'm going to be honest.
That's fine. That's fine. Listen, I would probably be the same, to be honest, if it was me.
Oh, yeah.
My ego is like this big anyway, so I just need to stroke my own ego a little bit there.
I want to blame it on the fact there's been a lockdown and I've had nothing else to do, but you know.
Definitely. That's absolutely what it is. So we're going to just sort of take it in turns a little bit. We'll ask you a few questions about our sort of general category and some of your own experiences as well. So we'll just sort of do a little bit of a round table. So Lucy, Lindsay, which one of you wants to go first?
Just on the note, because we're speaking about horror and your kind of the favourite movies that you love, Emma, in horror, because it's International Women's Month and we're talking all about movies directed by women in horror and women behind and in front of the camera. In terms of final girls, who is your favourite final girl? We would love to know.
Do you know what? Someone asked me this before and I pulled like a really lame answer because I said Host. But I don't know.
It's tough. It's a tough question.
It's a tough question, to be fair. It definitely is.
Because, I don't know, in essence, when you get to that thing where it's like the final girl, a lot of them are not the same, but it's like, oh, I don't know. I'm going to say...
Okay, I like how we've stumped you completely on the first question.
Well, you can think about it if you like. Me and Ian, we did a top five final girls episode. I think it was last summer. Did we have the same top choice?
We did. I think we both picked Ripley from Alien.
We did, yeah.
We both picked Ripley from Alien. I think we both had Laurie Strode from Halloween as our number two. So we went for really basic choices as well, so that's fine.
Stick to what you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Lindsay, did we ever ask you that?
I don't know if you have, actually.
Okay, good. We'll keep it now.
I'm sorry.
Lindsay, go on then. Give us your one.
Oh, I'm not sure either. I might
it just blows your mind, that question. It's too loaded.
Yeah. And you're just, there's so many to choose from. I love Samara Weaving's character from Ready or Not. I think she's a great modern final girl, so I'll go for that.
Okay, fair enough.
That's a good choice.
Fair enough then. Lindsay, do you want to ask your first question?
We'll likely have many budding actors, writers, directors, people just maybe with some sort of idea of a film in their head that they'd maybe like to make or produce one day. What is your advice to anybody up and coming in the industry to get into the horror film industry?
Oh, I think my best advice would be similar to what we did on Host, is meet people who have similar interests and people who are kind of at the same stage in their career as you, but who are obviously switched on, know what they want and are going for it. Because when you're together, you've got this stronger team. Like, that's how Host was made. It was literally just a group of friends and an idea and people who were going, do you know what, let's just do it, let's just make it happen. And it's, instead of having that idea sit in your head for forever, which it happens to people, you know, and it's like, it is hard when you want to start doing something and you don't really know how. I think the first thing you should do is just get around people who are on that same wavelength and just kind of make it happen. I know that Jed and Rob, who made Host, they, on their first ever short film, I think they used a bit of their own money that they got from their normal day jobs, and then they went to a drama school, which is how they found Hayley and Caroline and Medina. And then they said, look, if you give us a bit of money to make our film, we'll use your actors. And so, like, using your initiative as many ways as you can, and just be around people who are in doing the same sort of thing as you, and just going for it.
Yeah,
I think that's great advice, because I feel like there'll be so many people who'll just be like too scared to make the jump, and it is just, you just have to take the leap of faith and just do it, because you could land on some gold like Host that's been so amazingly successful.
Well, that's the thing, everyone wants to watch films, and if you think you've got an idea that, or like, you know, or you're a director, a producer, or even an actor, if you want to do it and you think you'd be good at it, there'll be someone who wants you in their project. Like, I can't remember if I said this before again, but when I met Jed, I was at Comic-Con, and I literally got up and I asked, he was on a panel with the people that made Suicide Squad, and I said, how do you find actors? I was like 20, I was young, and I'd never done any acting before really, and I was like, how do you find actors for your stuff? Like, I'm really intrigued. And then they were like, you just might be in the right place at the right time, and Jed took my stuff, and then we made a short film, and then we ended up making Host. So it's like, you just get up and ask the question, and just go for it. Because you might be really good.
I think the thing as well is, like, sometimes you never know where your opportunity is going to come from. Like, it can sometimes come from the most bizarre place. And I think that's really good advice as well, because I think that can apply to pretty much anything, really, not just into the sort of film industry. Because I remember when starting up this podcast, one of the things that I did was find other podcasts who are, you know, also just starting up, other podcasts who are in the same genre, we're talking about similar things, and, you know, we're just sort of trying to build that network and community and things like that. And so I think that's really good advice for any walk of life, really, not just the films. Yeah. So thank you for that response. One of the things that we've been talking about, so last month we were doing a special episode on sort of LGBT plus history in cinema and in horror cinema as well. And one of the sort of questions we were asking and sort of discussing was, you know, how far we think things have come, how sort of progressive we've managed to get things, and how far we still need to go. In terms of sort of like women in cinema, obviously, you know, women in cinema historically have not always been treated the best. They've not gotten the same opportunities and all these things. So how far do you think we've come, and how far do you think we've still got to go?
Oh,
big question. I'm sorry.
it's interesting, you know, because if you compare something that's just come out compared to something, you know, 20, even like 10 years ago, and you just see the cast, just that, like, you'll see the change and the shift in, like, A, the representation of real people, people with actual, like, stuff going on in their lives, not just being a woman who's like, oh, I mean, especially if you look really far back, right, and you look at the horror, like, and even, like, diversity with race and stuff like that, like, you can see it opening up. I think it goes without saying, there's definitely a long way to go, and it's stuff that happens behind the scenes too. Like, it should be exactly the same behind the scenes with the crew and everyone on the creative team. And but I definitely, especially with, you know, what was it? There's something on Shudder, and it's about drag and it's horror and it's really cool.
It's a Dracula.
Yeah. So I think, like, there's more experimentation stuff happening. I mean, there's always been that kind of stuff, but I think the door is open, and I think it's been creaked open, and now it's just about ramming it wide open, letting everyone have opportunities to do stuff and yeah, just keep on that road. Cause I think things are definitely changing.
Yeah, I think that's you know, right, you know, like you say, we've seen things slowly improving, and now it's just sort of about getting everything out there and just, like you say, proving what we're doing. And I think one thing, because when we recorded our sort of our favorite horror movies directed by women, you know, that was one thing that really came through for us. And a lot of our lists, most of the movies we were picking were from, you know, the last 10 years, the last sort of 10, 15 years. There wasn't a lot that we were picking from, you know, before 2000 even. And so I think that really is sort of evidence of just, you know, the sort of, like you say, that whole sort of kicking the door down and just being here. And I think that's so important to do as well.
Yeah. And I think, like, with everyone online and all the conversations being had, you know, behind the scenes and stuff, it can, I guess, for some people can be like, oh, a woman has to direct this. Oh, like, oh, we have to have women doing this now. And it's like, well, if those conversations didn't happen, then this one wouldn't be happening about, oh, the change. And it's only right, isn't it, that everyone gets to do what they want to do. And
yeah. But having your stories told, isn't it? And having people that have that experience in the writing room as well to make it authentic.
Yeah, like when we made Host, I remember Jed and Rob were writing it, and then they had to get Gemma involved. I think they got Gemma involved because they felt that they were too close to us as a group of friends, and they wanted an objective person to come in and see. But also by Gemma being a woman, she was able to pick out things they just didn't see and they just didn't think about. And I think it gave it some more depth. Yeah. Depth. Can't speak today.
Listen, you're speaking to three Scottish people. We never speak
properly, so it's fine. I can understand you three really well, though.
Well, that's fine. That's not normal. but that's one of the things, you know, and, you know, I'm sure you'll have seen it as well, especially across things like Twitter and social media, which is not always the best of places anyway. You know, social media definitely has its sort of not nice side. But, you know, when people are crediting, you know, Jed and Rob quite rightly for what they did for Host, sometimes, and, you know, Gemma sadly gets sort of left out of people's credits, and it's so unfair. And it was another one of the reasons why I was so keen to get Gemma on the show later in the month as well. Sorry, you can hear my cat in the background. She's just woken up and is being very grumpy.
Gemma fan.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, how does that make you feel when you see that? And, you know, I'm assuming, you know, not great, but, you know.
No, do you know what? It's interesting seeing it firsthand, because I'm kind of always on Twitter and I'm reading stuff all the time, and you read, you get a thread about this person was left out of this thing or this person was left out of that thing, and you think, oh my God, that's awful. But when you actually see, I was watching all the reviews coming out, Gemma was left off of so many, like, even by people I think who are meaning well by trying to show support, they're like, oh, Jed and Rob, this is amazing. But it's like, it's very clear, it's clearly written, was written by the three of them, and it's like, it does make you think, why is she being left off? And it wasn't like it happened one time, especially right at the start, because I know Rob had to say something. He tweeted a few times about it, and it's like, it's there's no excuse for it, really. It's just, you can read because you read those names, so put Gemma in there, so, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's really, like you say, I don't think everyone, you know, some people are out there meaning well by trying to, you know, do things, but it's such a shame that in so many cases that's happened. You know, it's really not very nice. Like you say, it's very clearly written and clearly promoted as being written by the three of them as well. So yeah, I just sort of wanted to get your opinions on that, because that's something that we had picked up on as well, and some of the people we had interacted with, and, you know, we've put out tweets about it as well, being like, please remember that, you know, Gemma wrote this movie too, you know. Yeah. And she was just as big a part of it as well, so I think that's really important to sort of get that message out there as well.
And she's really cool, like Gemma's so cool, and she's really smart. Did you guys end up seeing the behind the scenes? Oh no, there was the at the end of the film they added the seance, and you can see Gemma.
I've not seen that. No.
Oh, I haven't.
Yeah, and there's a behind the scenes documentary and which Gemma's in, and I think even just the bit in the seance, you can see she's so observational of what's happening. She's taking notes and asking questions, and it's like, she really should be included in all these.
I know what I need to watch now for her coming on the show.
I know.
I can send you the secret link for the behind the scenes.
Yes, do that. Just DM it to us, please. Thank you. Lucy.
Just on the conversation that we've been having about, how much we have progressed, especially, I would even say, in the past 5 years, in terms of the representation of women in horror. And we're getting a lot more female-centered, female-fronted horror movies that are very feminist as well, very intersectional. But obviously, there's still a lot of stories that need to be told. I'd really like to find out, Emma, what do you see kind of in the next 5 years in terms of, is there any stories that you feel like aren't being told? Any female stories, specifically in horror, but anything you think that we should be pushing, or there's something that you feel hasn't been addressed yet that we should be looking at?
Actually, as soon as you said that, it kind of popped into my mind that for me, when I'm watching horror, even now, it still can feel like the woman, especially the lead, can just sort of feel like a woman in a horror film. Without actually kind of being someone you know. Do you know what I mean by that?
It having a trope. I understand where you're coming from there.
Yeah, I can't explain exactly what it is, but I still feel like a lot of women in horror I feel like there needs to be more films about. Do you know what? I know this is really bad because I'm going to plug Host again, but what I liked about Host was that it wasn't, no one wore makeup and no one. It wasn't like we were people, how do I put this? We're just like normal people that you know. And I feel like a lot of the time in horror, I don't know if it's because they're trying to drama it up for it to be a spooky film, but I just feel like that sense of realness, just to make it more authentic. I think that would just be cool to see more of that.
I think that's one of the things that when we were talking about Hosts, around the award shows and things like that, that's one of the things that really sort of did come across to most of us, was that sort of feeling of authenticity as well. And during that first lockdown, we were all having, Zoom calls and drinks on Zoom nights and things like that. And, it was definitely super relatable for me. Obviously mm-hmm. I can't relate to some of these issues aren't for me, that's fine, but even I was relating to that and that specifically, and I'm sure Lucy and Lindsay were the same.
It also makes it a bit more impactful and scary sometimes as well, if it's not always smoke and mirrors, talking about we're talking about the home invasion movies and stuff like that, so having something that does feel authentic and like you say, Emma, real characters, people that you think, oh, that could be one of my friends, and you see that, it can make it a lot more powerful.
I think it makes it more scary, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
That was one of the things about as well. We've all got one of those people in our lives. We've all got a Teddy or an Emma or a Gemma or a Haley or a Radeen. We've all got one of those people in our lives as well, which is one of the things that I really liked about it. Lindsay.
Just kind of going back a bit on what we were saying about how much work Gemma put in behind the scenes, and then also kind of thinking about the episode we did the other day about women directors in horror, and we actually spoke about so many amazing films, but then women at the same time are also kind of still not given that platform in horror, and it just made me think about how much harder women have to work and the levels of perfection that women have to have in the film industry in general, in order to even be considered the same as men. What do you think about that, Emma, those kind of unfair standards?
You know what, it's funny you say that, and I'm not going to speak for Gemma, but Gemma works so hard, and it's their 100 million% is that thing of, we feel like we have to overcompensate just to have our foot in the door, and it's it's really bad. And it's again, I think it's one of those things, it's just going to have to happen. So it was probably going to happen gradually, where we're not going to feel like that. But I think it's amazing that those opportunities are there. And again, it comes down to the people who are picking writers and who are picking producers, who are picking people for their projects, to actively pick a woman. And it's not fair that she feels like she has to work that much harder. in a way, I guess it's going to push the work to be excellent, but it's also like, it is definitely a thing. That is 100% a thing, and it's a shame, but it's one of them things. It's like, we're just going to have to keep, until it's the norm, until it's literally as normal as like, oh, who wrote that? A woman. Oh, who directed that? A woman. Until that's the thing, then it's not going to be so much of a thing of women feeling they have to prove themselves all the time. Like, it's that thing of, oh, I have to, oh my God, I've got this opportunity. Oh my God, this is so rare. Oh, I have to really smash it out of the park, blah, 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 you know. And then it will, you know, there won't be that sense of like, having to really push it beyond what is expected of you.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think sometimes with like men, there's room to fail, and with women, there just isn't. Like, you have to make a really good film, because otherwise it's a comment on all women, and it's so unfair, and it's so much pressure.
Yeah, agreed.
Awesome. Sorry, I'm kind of enjoying just sort of sitting back and letting you guys have this conversation as well, because obviously this is something that me, Lindsay and Lucy have talked about quite a lot, and obviously, you know, no one really is asking for my opinion, so I'm not going to give it all the time. So it's really interesting to see a third person sort of come into the conversation and hear your thoughts on it. So, so we'll move on, because we've got a few more questions to ask you, and I think we've probably done the heavy questions by this point, right? So now we're just going to give you all the ones that are going to stump you, like the first one. So we've talked about quite a lot what the episode that we just recorded the other night on our favorite horror movies directed by women. So Emma, what's your favorite horror movie that's directed by a woman?
You are gonna stump me. Do you know what, as I am the worst actor in the world, I don't know, I never know actors' names, I never know directors' names.
just give you a minute to think. So my first choice was American Psycho. That was also Lucy's first choice, and Lindsay, what was your first choice, Lindsay?
Revenge,
and
directed by Alice
Lowe. So you could just agree with that. Go, there's some suggestions for you.
The first thing that came to mind, I don't know if this is because I know her, but Kate Herron, who's also like part of our friendship group, she did, I believe it was a short film. It was about smear tests, and it was sort of horror. I think it was horror. You might call it it was horror. It was, yeah. But she's really cool, and I think she always pushes the boat out of like thinking outside the box and being innovative, and you know, again, back onto that thing about things that actually scare people, especially things that scare women. But she's really, really, really cool. So I'm gonna say her. I'm gonna say that. Short films count.
Awesome. That's very cool. It's very good to get a very different answer as well, you know, because me and Lucy especially went for a very generic, basic answer by going for American Psycho. So,
and you know what? She's directing Loki for Disney Plus, and it's like, it's amazing to see that happening for her. Like, she inspires me. I always tweet about it, but she inspires me so much. She actually grew up near me in a place called Welling. And like, to see her go from strength to strength and working with the people that she's working with is just so incredibly inspiring. And again, I can't help but imagine she probably has that whole thing on her shoulders a bit, because she's a woman. This has to be really, really freaking good, and I can't let people down and that kind of thing. But it's amazing to see what she's doing.
I think that's always good to see as well, when people, you know, when you're watching people get their start as well, you know, and you see them doing like short films and really low budget things. And it's the same thing for the host crew, who now have got this Blumhouse deal, and like you love watching it, don't you, when you see someone do something that you really like, you really love, and then you see them get so much success after it as well, and see them
goes to show it can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Lucy, have you got another question?
Yeah, I kind of want to ask, this is just something I've thought of at the top of my head, sorry, it's a bit of a wild card question, but no, I just wanted to ask, in terms of non-horror movies then, what would be your favorite non-horror movie that's like female fronted? Is there any kind of like very feminist kind of female movie that you really gravitate towards too?
There 100 million% is. I just need 30 seconds.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I'm trying to think myself.
And I do think you can usually tell the difference when something's been directed by a woman. It's a woman's story.
Yeah. I mean, on the podcast, it's a bit of a running joke right now, even though it is a horror movie. I talk about Jennifer's body at any given moment, which is to Ian's delight.
Hold on a second here. I thought it was Assassination Nation now.
That's the other one.
I watched that movie when I was like 16, and I remember being like, wait, she's in high school. Why don't I look like that? You know?
Yeah.
You remember, like, I don't know. But, do you know, the answer's going to come to me as soon as I come off.
Well, that's fine. Well, you have a thing about it. We'll move on. Did you have another question, Lindsay, or you?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
So I just wanted to know about what's your dream project / role, Emma? Let's do some manifesting for you. Let's see what happens.
No, up here on my, you can probably see it in my mirror now. I've got this massive vision board and I take it very seriously, and there are things on there that have already happened and I'm like, that's wild. My dream job would be to do something like a really big action movie, and an action movie with, you know, sometimes with action you feel like you've seen this movie so many times.
Yeah
I'd
love to do something that is totally unique, and but something really like badass, because I feel like I grew up watching Lara Croft and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'd love to do a role like that, something really physical and really.
I can see that. I can totally see that.
Yeah,
I can see you being some badass superhero. Like, I can.
That is my biggest dream.
I can definitely see that, and you proved in Host that you can kind of fly, I guess. So.
Window. It works every time I jump out the window.
I'm actually just jealous at how sunny it looks where you are, but that's another story. Did I interrupt a conversation? I can't remember. I'm sorry. My mind's gone totally blank. Okay. That would be so cool. I would definitely be down to watch that. We'll all buy tickets. We'll buy tickets. So if there's any budding directors out there that's wanting to make some big action movies, then definitely we've got someone who's ready to just be slotted into your roles. But you know, like, I totally get having that sort of like vision board types thing. So like, I've got a list, we have a list of like our schedules and stuff. And one of the things that I don't have that I don't share is like a list of everyone that I want to interview. And, you know, like, there's people on there that I probably will never get to interview. But, you know, like, in terms of, like, horror and stuff like that. So, you know, like, I would love to have a chat with Nick Castle. I would love to have a chat with Stephen King. I would love to have a chat, you know, with all these various peoples. Kathy Bates is very high up on my list as well. You know, and, of course, Emma, you were on the list too. Yeah, I totally get that. Like, that's
never say never. You know, like, people, I think sometimes people are easier to contact than you might think, and it can just be, there can just be something that needs to happen in order for that to happen.
Yeah, you know what? I think that's a really good thing as well, because, you know, when you came on the show the first time, that was you were the first ever sort of like proper guest we'd had on the show. We'd had some like other podcasts on the show and things like that. And we're not saying that they're not proper guests. don't want to offend any of them, but in terms of someone who had been in something that, you know, and especially something that became so big as Host as well. So, and what I noticed is, because we went on to do like a few other interviews after we'd had you on the show, I'd gotten, me and Lucy did an interview from Naomi Grossman.
Yep.
And we'd done a couple of other ones as well. And, you know, one of the things that I really reached out, because I'd reached out to another podcast sort of for advice of being like, you know, how do you approach people? Because I definitely had that sort of nerves of being like, I don't want to approach people and just be like, say the wrong things, or, you know, do the completely wrong things. I don't want to offend people as well at the same time. And they were like, oh, just message them. I was like, oh, okay. Okay. That's sort of how we were, I mean, that's how we ended up chatting on the mm-hmm. socials. So that's how, you know, I first spoke to Gemma. I've obviously spoken to Jed as well through that way, and that's how we spoke to some of our other interviewees. And, you know, like, we're hoping to have David Howard Thornton on the show in the next few months. He's the sort of other one that I've kind of been working on. So if he's listening to this, David, reply to my DMs, please. But, you know, also, I think...
Like, Stephen King, like, that I'm sure you could get that to happen. I don't know if I told you before, but he watched Host and they sent him an email and he just replied. He said, yeah, I've seen it. It was great.
Well, we did, and because we did, because in the award shows, which, that's fantastic. Like,
I'm
so jealous. In the awards,
you sent an email.
in the award shows, we started up our own, because we often feel that horror is something that's kind of forgotten about by the big award ceremonies, and I'm sure, you know, everyone here will agree with that. You know, there's been so many amazing performances that have been overlooked, and specifically in the last few years, when you think of like Toni Collette in Hereditary, and Lupita Nyong'o in Us, and a whole variety, Florence Pugh and Samara Weaving, and those sorts of people as well. That's really why I wanted to start up. But we also started up our own Horror Hall of Fame as well, and Stephen King has also been put in our Horror Hall of Fame. And he'd tweeted something out on Twitter one day, completely unrelated, just being like, I'm having such a good day. But it was in the same day that we had announced that he was in the Hall of Fame. So I just quote tweeted him being like, I didn't realise just how excited you would get over this. And he liked it. And he was like, oh,
there you
so
go.
Cool. So we're already in there.
It's the marathon, it's not the sprint.
Absolutely.
You're in for the long game.
Absolutely, absolutely. So
I think that kind of goes to what Emma said earlier. It's about putting yourself out there, isn't it? And if you don't ask, you don't get, isn't it? You just have to make the leap and just try.
Yeah, and it doesn't always happen instantly, and that's okay. That doesn't mean that you're not still going to where you wanted to get to. It can mean that's another thing, like for people starting out, it's never I start here and I get there. It's a windy path, and that's for anyone and in anything, actually, I think. But it's like, especially when you're trying to go for something that you think is unattainable, it's setbacks are going to happen, so they're not even really setbacks, it's part of it.
Yeah,
so you just have to
I think it's about sort of picking yourself up, dusting yourself down, and be like, right, that didn't work out. Like you say, there's certain roles you're not going to get, there's certain interviews or whatever it is, and that, like you say, applies to all of life as well. You know, it's just about picking yourself up and not letting it really sort of get in your way, isn't it? So, yeah, I think that's awesome advice. Okay, so I'm down to my last question already. We've kind of fired through these, which is great, because I don't want to keep you all day. One of the things we've been talking about as well is sort of people who are role models, you know, specifically for, you know, young girls and things like that. So when you were sort of growing up and you were in your sort of, like you say, when you were watching a lot of horror movies as well in your teenage years, who were the sort of women in horror and wider cinema that you really sort of looked up to? Who was your inspirations?
Oh, in terms of acting, actors.
Yeah, anyone really.
It's weird, isn't it? When you see like the same faces popping up in things, you get this sort of like, I don't know, you kind of get this sort of one-way rapport with them. And do you know what? I mean, for me now, especially like as I'm getting older and I'm seeing more about the actors and stuff who work in horror, like Barbara Crampton and Kelly Maroney are so incredibly inspirational to me. And we were on Clubhouse the other day, and Barbara was saying she's getting the best roles of her career, and she's, you know, she's not starting out. You know what I mean? But she, and that to me, this isn't obviously when I was younger, but right now that I find that so inspiring, especially as a woman, as an actress or an actor in this business, it's like, it's like this unwritten sell-by date, and it can really put people off even wanting to do it in the first place. I was 20 when I started acting, and I felt like I was too old. And so to see someone like her, especially she's done so much in horror, and just to see that community kind of build her up and really fall in love with her, I think, so, you know, those two are so, so inspirational for me.
Yeah. Yeah, but Barbara Crampton's definitely on the list as well. Is she like the hardest working woman in horror as well? Like, she just seems to do so much, and is, because she's writing and directing as well, right?
And producing,
yeah. She's doing everything. Like,
she's so kind. Yeah. She's so nice to people.
She is. Yeah. She's absolutely amazing. She's one of my horror icons. So, I think she's awesome. So Barbara as well, if you're listening.
You were in Clubhouse. She did a talk the other day on Clubhouse.
I wasn't, no.
I'll send you a link to sign up if you want. It's really cool. Awesome.
You're just giving us all the links. I know where to come now. Whenever I need a link for something, I'll just give you a message.
I do have a lot of links in my notes.
Awesome. No, that's really cool. Barbara Crampton, I know, is someone who amongst our sort of little community is so popular, is so highly regarded as well, and just kind of beloved, isn't she, especially the horror fandom. And as you say, she definitely comes across as a very, very kind person as well. And to top it all off, she's a really, really great actress. I remember I was kind of obsessed with her a little bit when Your Next came out. Obviously she plays a role in that as well, and I'm kind of obsessed with everything she's in, to be honest. So anyways, Lucy, Lindsay, any other questions from you guys?
I just have one more question. So besides Host, because you just said you watched it last night, which we love, obviously in lockdown we're binging all the Netflix, all the Shudder, all the content. What's been your favorite piece of horror media, whether it's like a TV show or a movie that you've seen like since like lockdown? Is there anything else that you've watched that's really been like, ooh, I've enjoyed that?
You know what? Oh my God. I mean, this—that's a big umbrella. That's like way back to like last year.
I know. It's a long.
That's true.
It's a long time now.
I know it's super old. But I remember when we were getting ready to film Host, Rob was instructing us, giving us homework to watch certain things, and he told me to watch Blair Witch, and it's still in my brain and in my body, and it just sits on my shoulders all the time. But yeah, Blair Witch, like, I don't know how I'd never seen it before, but I watched it and it was like, I went to the woods like 2 days after and I was just like, I just wanted to leave.
Too soon.
That was way too soon. At least 2 years after, that's how long you need to wait.
Yeah, and Midsommar, like, I remember he showed us clips of it and I was like, didn't need to see that. This is so explicit.
me and Lindsay, we did an episode on that a wee while ago, and in general our episodes tend to go between like an hour and a half for a movie review. I think we almost hit 3 hours for that episode because there was just so much to unpack and so much to talk about. It was a marathon, honestly. I had no voice by the end of it.
See that rock going in that guy's face.
It's instilled in your brain after. It's just like, oh.
Trauma.
Awesome. Lindsay, any last questions? Sorry, Lucy, was that you?
Yeah.
Was it Lindsay, any last questions before we finish things up?
No, I think I asked all mine.
Awesome. Well, in that case then, Emma, I want to say thank you very, very much for coming back on the show. There's one thing I actually do want to ask you that's completely unrelated. I do believe you've been learning Korean.
Yeah, 한국어 했어요.
That's amazing. I would love to be able to speak Korean. Host was quite a big deal in Korea, right?
It had a cinema release. And sometimes I try and Google it in Korean, but I'm not that good where I can just read everything, so I'm just like, I give up. But I just got, this is my Jimin doll from BTS, so I'm obsessed with K-pop in South Korea. But no, do you know what, it's been really cool to see the different countries responding to it, and I think for me personally, I was just like, wow, like, I can't believe, I mean, I've been studying Korean for 2 years and now my film's in the cinema over there, and people have been sending us pictures for billboards in Hong Kong, and like, we were like the most popular film in Netflix in Latin America, and just wild. So crazy.
I can only imagine what it's like having like a film out in all these countries, because I know what it feels like when I get one random download for the podcast from like Bahrain or something, and I'm like, oh my god, someone in Bahrain is downloading the podcast. I'm so excited. And if that person's listening, thank you. But I can only imagine what it feels like to see your film, you know, all over the world and being so just so loved all over the world as well, you know. So I can only imagine what that feels like. But congratulations on all your success as well with
Host, definitely.
We talked a bit about it when you were on last time, but it's still so talked about as well. And I really don't think I can think of anything in the last sort of even like decade or so that's been talked about for so long after its release as well, and it's
blowing my mind a lot. So, people are still sending us artwork, and my followers are still like going stupid on Instagram. I'm like, but it came out so long ago.
But no, I want to say congratulations on all of that success, and I want to thank you once again for coming back onto the show. We really, really do appreciate it. This is
thank you for having me. This is always fun.
Absolutely. I've forgotten what I was going to say there. Is there anything that you want to plug before we leave? You've plugged Host, but you can plug it again.
I've plugged Host about five times.
We love it.
Embarrassing. I've got secret stuff coming out in summer.
Ooh. I'm exciting. Well, I can't wait for you to make your third appearance on the show then.
I don't know what I'm probably not allowed to say.
Okay. Well, if your supporters want to follow you on your social media, where can you be found?
On Twitter, I'm at EmmaLouiseWeb5, and on Instagram, I'm EmmaLoves with three S's.
Lovely. Lucy, where can you be found?
Find me on Twitter and Twitch, and it's Lulu_Pew.
Awesome. Lindsay?
I'm on all social media at @HiIt'sLindsay_.
Awesome. Find us on Twitter at Screams Behind, Facebook and Instagram at Behind the Screams Podcast. If you would like to support this show more than just downloading the podcast, go to patreon.com/behindthescreams. You can sign up there for just £1 and you get up to 4 bonus episodes a month. You get early access to shows. There's a whole lot of bonus content on there as well. So please, please go and do that. But once again, thank you so much to Lucy and Lindsay for joining me. Thank you so, so much for Emma for joining me as well. And we hope you will join us next time on Behind the Screams.